seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I've got something to repent of this morning. First thing, we sang this wonderful hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and it's perfect for the sermon, but I'm going to refer to another hymn here. Hymn 770 in your hymnal. You can look it up if you want. What a friend we have in Jesus. And we had picked the hymns for today. Curtis was, as usual, awesome in helping pick them out. Give some credit to him, for sure. But then I was thinking as I prepared my sermon about this verse from Hymn 770, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's the second verse. It starts out this way. And I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Man, doesn't that fit our reading from James today? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Is there trouble in your life? You have trials and temptations? Seems like that's the life of a Christian. And it seems like, you know, when Christians get together, when people get together, it seems like we like to talk about our problems. We like to talk about our trials and temptations. People say, well, you know, sometimes it's just like a pity party when we get together. We talk about our trials. What are some trials? Well, you've been sick, or you've been in the hospital, or you've been injured, or somebody else in your family is, or there's been a death in your family or death of someone that you love. You got problems with your kids. You got problems with your parents. You got problems with your brother or sister. Trials. We talk about them. We moan about them a little bit. How about temptations? Now, when we get together, do we talk about our temptations? Well, if I talk about my temptations, people might see that ugly self within me. Really, you're tempted by that? We don't talk about that because we know that's going to get around. We don't like to talk about our temptations. But guess what? Every one of us is tempted by something. It's not the same for everybody. Well, how does James treat trials and temptations? James comes to the subject of trials and temptations this way. He says, they're not something negative to drag you down. They're just the opposite. He talks about the only answer to the trials and temptations that we seem to dwell on, that our lives are filled with. He talks about God. He talks about what God does with us in the midst of our trials and temptations. And James says, the giver of every good gift, and the giver of every perfect gift is on our side in the midst of trials and temptations. And that makes all the difference in the world. And it sounds hard to believe, but James starts his letter this way. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Joy. You think Abraham thought it felt like joy when the Lord tested him to take his only beloved son, Isaac, and sacrifice him? How about trials in your life? I'll tell you about a couple trials in my life. Back in my previous work, I'll ask you this question. Have you ever been falsely accused of something at work? Called dishonest about something? And really, really glad that you had kept the records to prove of what you had done was okay, was the right thing? Falsely accused. You feel like you're betrayed. Have you ever been hospitalized and had needles stuck in you? You know, and all the other stuff. Less pleasant things than that, even. Both of those things happened to me at the same time once. I didn't count it as joy. James, how can you count that as joy? Count it all as joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I wouldn't have counted it as joy at the time. And believe me, I wasn't feeling very steadfast at the time. But James says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Just as God promised to Abraham, as Sue read earlier, God uses trials in our lives to strengthen our faith. You see, few Christians, their faith doesn't seem to strengthen when times are good. That's when we can handle it all, right? We can handle that by ourselves. Do we go to seek the Lord when times are good? If you do, God bless you. You're ahead of me. Where we seem to find Christ, where Christ is closest to us, it seems, or where I should say where we're closest to Christ, is in those times of trial, when we're lying in a hospital, when we've been falsely accused of something, maybe not at work, but maybe by someone in your own family, or maybe the accusation isn't so false. It's at those times when we see God's hand of mercy and love and compassion that's with us through the trial. Someone this week was telling me about some of the trials in her life. Hard, difficult trials. She said, Pastor, you know what? We've got obstacles in our life, yeah. God doesn't get us over the obstacle. God doesn't get us around the obstacle. Our Lord brings us through that obstacle, through that trial. He goes through it with us. That's the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows about trials himself. He stood a trial before Pilate. You don't want to count any other trial, count that one. I was thinking about our cross here. You see how it's not a straight up cross like this one. See that one? It's leaning. Why is it leaning? You ever thought about that? It looks like Christ is carrying it on his way to be crucified, right? That's what it makes you think of. That's what it makes me think of. Why is that cross so heavy? Why is that cross so heavy that he stumbled and fell? He's carrying the trials of all of mankind with him. He's carrying all those trials that you and I suffer. That's why He's suffering with you. That's a lot of suffering. Your Lord knows the trials that you go through. He's going through them with you. You don't have to go through them alone. What a tragedy it is for people to suffer trials, worse trials than I've had, alone, without God. There's no need for that. Jesus came for that purpose. He came for us. He was ordained at His baptism to go to the cross for us, for you and me. In our time of trial, we know that God knows exactly what we're going through. Jesus knew that because He became human to suffer, just like you and I do. And when you're a baptized Christian, you're not called not to suffer anymore. That would be a lie. You're going to suffer. But you've got someone to suffer with you in this life. There will be a time when you will not suffer. That's the next life. You've got that promise too. Crown of eternal life, that James says. But when you wonder, where is God in my suffering, in my time of trial? Where is He? Look to the cross. Look to the cross. Remember your Savior. And go to the cross. And He will give you His comfort to get you through it. Go to His Word, where He will speak to you and give you words of mercy and comfort and compassion from His heart. That's what you need. You will be strengthened. So much for trials. What about temptations? How is that positive? Well, let's get one thing clear. Temptations are not God's fault. Certainly, our falling into temptation is not God's fault either. Oh, we'd like to blame God for all of this. We'd like to say, God, You know that I've got this weakness. I've got this proclivity to this particular sin, and God, it's all around me. You made me this way. How could You do that? It's all Your fault. Really? That's what we'd like to say. You gave me these appetites. You gave me these desires. Well, He did give us natural desires. He did give us natural appetites. But He didn't create us to abuse them. He gave us good ways to use them. Let's take a couple. Let's take the appetite for food. Good thing. Your body tells you when it's hungry so you can feed it. And He gives you good things to eat. Yet how many of us overeat to the point of gluttony or diabetes? Our own selves. And how many of us struggle with bulimia or anorexia? What a tragedy that is. When God gives us this appetite for food and we struggle with it. We simply try to gratify the pleasures of our taste buds for an instant. God gave us an appetite for sex between a man and a woman in marriage. Yet how many ways have we abused that good gift, both inside and outside marriage? God gave us the gift of dominion over a perfect planet. Yet how have we polluted this planet? And how have we exercised that dominion over each other in our appetite for power? And God gives us many blessings, material blessings in this country especially. Yet we use that appetite to become greedy. I wish I could tell you that once you're baptized, you'll never sin again, you'll never face temptation again, but it's not true. You will in this life. That's why we daily, in our baptism, go to repentance before our Lord and say, Lord, you know me. You know how I fail from that. I need your forgiveness. I need your merciful forgiveness for the sake of Christ. For the sake of the one who bore that cross for me. Our Lord knew temptation too. Gospel of Mark, in its brevity, doesn't describe all the temptations in the wilderness during those 40 days that our Lord faced. Gospel of Luke talks about some of them. Common ones like appetite of hunger. Common ones like desire for power. But I'll tell you what I think the greatest temptation that Jesus ever had was. I think it was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he was tempted not to go to the cross, not to suffer and die, not to suffer and die for all the sins of Jeff Nichol and each of you. And if that's not enough, to suffer and die for people who would reject him, who would reject his forgiveness. Would you do that? Yet he went to the cross. Anyway, because of his love for you and me. That's how our Lord Jesus Christ deals with temptation. So in your baptism, you know where you can go in the times of temptation. Go to Christ. And those flames of the evil one, those burning arrows that he shoots at you that hit you sometimes, let them be extinguished in your baptism. Put on the armor of God. Go to His Word to help resist that temptation too. And go to Him for forgiveness when you fail. Because that's where forgiveness is. In our Lord Jesus Christ. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature would not deceive us or mislead us into sin. And that He would not mislead us into despair. But that our Father in heaven would overcome these things and rescue us. And He does. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Yes, God knows about our trials and our temptations. He sent His only Son to suffer the trials and the temptations that we face. And He comes to you in His Word and His own body and blood to offer you forgiveness for all of that. That's what you receive when you come here. Be strengthened by that in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.